Against the Spirit Ministry Fellowship. As I said, I hope you all had a great 4th. I was just thinking about that. We haven't done a parade. We used to do parades all the time. You know, hit every parade we could hit. And we'd hand out all the flyers we could hand out, throw candy out. People would walk with us. We just had our car at the time. It was a blue one at that time. We put a thing on top. He says, if you've tried, if you tried being a Christian, try a relationship. If you tried religion, now try relationship. Relationship's different than religion. Amen. And we were having it on. We had one time going down the state fair parade, and we had Rich's Cadillac, the big thing that he has, and Escalade. We rented a trailer where people would sit in, and we had that on top of that Escalade out there, and somebody yelled at us, "I tried it, it don't work," as we went by, and motorcycles came up beside us and started revving up the engine and couldn't, we had some music going, had bubbles coming out and having a great time, and they were just harassing us, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, devil's trying hard to stop it, so. We never did go back to the Iowa State Fair. We didn't think it was all that great for us. But, there was a lot of... It was just a different attitude there than the other fairs the parades we went through. But we used to be in Urbandale and Grimes and Ankeny and Beaverdale, and it was a lot of fun. If people want to do that again, we can still get back into it, get it going. So I remember the time... In school, they always have the homecoming parade. My brother came up with a float, and what it was, he said they made like a coffee cup, and then they made a donut, and then they put a hydraulic cylinder in the middle of the cup to the donut, and they would run it up and down, and it looks like we're going to dunk you, donut. So that was a pretty good float. Ours was pictures of our old parade. Yeah, that's what we used to do. Yeah, had a trailer one time we took with us and had people on it and had a good time. So yeah, it's anybody wants to interested in doing something like that, let us know. We can work that out. It was a lot of good time, a lot of exciting things happening. But in our homeroom, I came up with the idea of having I say this always wrong, the fish, a whale. I always say whale, looking like a water whale. No, it's a whale, it's a fish. And we had a couple legs that we had sticking out of its mouth. And then we had two ladies sitting inside, two girls there. And we had a bar we would pull back on, and they would put the water, pull the feet up, the mouth would go up and down. And then we had a big tank on the back of a tractor because my dad had a John Deere dealership, and we had a big sprayer on the back. And then we'd run the hose in and put a little gun that was sitting there. So whenever somebody would be driving along or running along the side of the street and they'd find a judge, knew who the judges were, so I'd pull put the PTO in gear. It would set up that, and it would shoot water out of the well. So, and the caption was, "We take all but defeat." The feet sticking out, and they're moving it up and down. So, we took first place on that one. That was pretty cool. But so, you can come up with all kinds of ideas. We can do all. I've had some ideas for making a big float, but we never had really interest enough to go that way. But we could add all kinds of fun things on making a float. Just have to find an old wagon and something to pull it with. The people is willing to do it because it takes a lot of work. But praise God, we can do all kinds of stuff like that. And we haven't done that for a while, but that's just getting together and having fun and enjoying ourselves and going from there. So praise God. Also, when we're watching the Boston Pop, the Lord reminded me about, the orchestra they had. Is just awesome. It was right in tune. Everything was going along, he says. And it's just like the body of Christ. each person has a special tool to use, an instrument, a gifting to use. And he says if you have the Holy Spirit as the director, and as the Holy Spirit directs, and you start to put all that together in one place out on by your own, you can have great music, you can do what you're doing, all that. But when you bring it together in unity, that's a little difficult. Because, you know, if you have a big choir sitting there, and I mean orchestra, and I've been in a choir before, and once in a while somebody's a little off tune, kind of ruins the whole sound for everybody. Everybody can sit in there, and that one person just sit there and just greet everybody, even though it's a beautiful song and it sounds good. The same thing can happen in the body of Christ. We get in there, we got people that are doing this or doing that, and it's not really unity of what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. It can cause the same problem. Get grating. Talked to a guy yesterday. We got that new car, and it had some new tires were kind of different, so we got new tires put on it. And come to find out, they were all different tires and different treads, and I'm thinking, look like somebody just put some stuff on it to get it out the door. So I'm glad we got the tires, because they didn't ride very well that way. But while I had an opportunity, I sat there for 4 hours, get the oil change, tires on, and I'm thinking alignment. But they had people who were, one guy quit 2 hours after they started. There's two guys called in sick, so they had a full load, so it was quite a while. But there was a guy sitting there in a wheelchair, and I started talking to him. Come to find out, he had a dirt bike accident, was paralyzed from the waist down, and we talked a lot about different things. And finally, he found out I was a pastor, and because he said he was working for Wells Fargo, and I said I got a church out here. Oh, you a pastor? He says, yeah. So we talked. He says I used to go to one church over here and went to another, and he says I used to do this, and I went out on a mission field, and I says, oh, you would go to church now? He says, I don't go anywhere. And he had a real problem. He said, I got a lot of questions. I said, well, I got a lot of answers. Why don't you give me a call? So we're going to be talking with him. Who knows what's going to happen there. But it was an opportunity to witness to the Father. But, you know, he had so much discord from where he'd been and what he'd heard and what he'd seen. He didn't understand the truth. He didn't understand what was going on. And he was confused in areas. So it kind of held him back from really doing what, you know, he should be doing. I think he wants to serve God. It just, I don't know if he really understands enough or believes enough or whatever's going on. And I'm praying that he gets changed around in that case. So praise the Lord. But it's very important, you know, for the body of Christ to work with the unity of the Holy Spirit to make things happen. I mean, it's awesome to do it on your own, no problem. But when you start coming together in unity, it makes a little more difference on what's happening. So we just praise God for unity, for you guys, for this church, and for what God's doing. Sarah, Eric, Debbie, Brendan, and I will be gone next week again. We're going to Texas for the World Ministry Fellowship meeting that we have. It's a convo. It's an annual meeting that they have. And we'll see what happens. We know that Karen will be in charge next week. And you know, we'll talk to her this week and get her lined up and things going, and we got other things lined up as well. So we'll have things happen here for next week, so you'll know what's going on, so you don't come in and say, oh, what's going on? That's no problem. Yeah, you guys can run it. You know, God's got it figured out. It's still God's ministry. It's not mine. It's God's, and he can do what, you know, we got people here that are very capable of doing what needs to be done. So we praise God for everything that's happening. So just to let you know, that's coming up. And then the next week, Sarah and Eric will be back, and we might even be back by then too, or might be traveling home. We just have to find out. So we'll make sure everybody knows what's going on. So praise the Lord. And I've been teaching about the anointing. And I asked, you know, I was thinking why I'm teaching about the anointing, because on the way back from Dallas the last time, we were gone for 2 weeks, that's what the Lord said to teach on anointing. And this morning I was getting ready, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm going across some same things I've been across and have talked about, and people should understand this. There's no big problem going on that way. And I was kind of concerned because, you know, I've been in a place. I mean, we used to watch the one guy over in California. Price, yeah. Fred Price. That guy, you could listen to his teaching and miss 3 months and go back to listen to the same teaching, and it was still referring back to what he what he was talking about before. He was a good teacher, but he got it into your spirit. He got it down in there. And I'm saying, Father, I'm going over this again, and I don't want to bore people. And I said, well, if you do that, you get tired, and all of a sudden you don't hear what's going on if you close your ears down. As I've said before, one man told me, he says, if you said, I've heard that before, you can't hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. You block the Holy Spirit from teaching you something new. So keep your ears open. And if you think, well, I've heard this before, say, Lord, what do you want me to learn out of this? And I'll tell you one thing you need to learn, if you know this and you're walking in it, that's great. If you aren't, then what you need to do is you need to learn so you can teach somebody. And is that fan too cold for anybody? I know it's pointing that way. If it is, come over and just move it out of the way or turn it off, whichever you need to do, because it gets a little chilly in here. It doesn't bother me, but some people it might bother. So we got the fans up there. If you need to shut them off, also you can do the whatever so that you're comfortable that way. So as I was sitting there, and the Lord, I just asked him, I said, why? I just don't want to be repetitious so much that, we lose it, or I'm doing something wrong, or, trying to prove a point because I'm not trying. I'm just following what the Holy Ghost is showing me. Every time I lately get down and start putting things together, he takes me a different way than I'm normally going to go. And it is still the same understanding, but it's different. And he brought back to me, I think it was a Whitman back when, it was an early revival. And what happened was, he studied overnight, and he started studying the Word of God, and he was in praying, and it was overnight, if I remember right, he was all night long studying. He came out the next morning on a Sunday with the power of the Holy Ghost, and he hit it under the anointing, people start dropping dead. See, we don't realize what anointing. People say, I want revival. And I've said for some time, people want revival, but they don't know the requirements of revival and what's going to happen in revival. We see revivals on TV. We've been in revivals. And we've seen maybe some people healed, set free, delivered, some awesome things, fantastic situations. All that going on. But do you really understand the full working of the revival? What is a revival for? What is the anointing to pull out for? And that's why I always ask the Father what's going on, to find out exactly what's happening, what needs to be done. Because we can pray for revival all we want, but have we got revival yet? Yes, there's places in revival that are happening. There's certain areas that are starting to pop loose. So, but there's a reason that's happening. And I sat back there and I said, Lord, what's all going on? He says, in this next revival, and I've said this before, just kind of reminding you, it's not about signs and wonders, which we see, what we expect, what we want to happen. It's about perfecting, bringing forth a perfection in the soul. Getting to know the Lord intimately. It's just like anything. You can always have effects of something. You'll say, I'm trying to get a good example because this is something I wasn't going to go this way. Everything you do, every action, there's a reaction. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes in, there's going to be great and magnificent things. But the biggest thing that's going to happen is the devil's going to come against you harder. That's the first thing. He's going to put everything he can against you to stop what you're doing. I'm just listening to the Holy Spirit to make sure I'm talking about what he wants me to put out here, because this is not my notes. This is not the way I was going to go. This is the very first thing this morning that the Lord starts saying. Revival is not really what we believe it to be, because we've seen somewhat revival. Revival is good. Revival is fun. I've been in places, power of God hit. People did things really strange. People got healed, set free. I thought it was awesome. But where are they today? What are they doing today? How many people in revival that you've known of that aren't even going to church today? What good was revival? Really, what good was revival? If it was so good, don't you think God would have revival going somewhere all the time, changing people's lives left and right? Problem is, it doesn't change people's lives. Exactly what's spoken today in Matthew. Those who seek for righteousness shall be filled. If you're not seeking righteousness and you're seeking revival, you're in the wrong place. You're not pleasing God whatsoever. Plain and simple. If you care more about revival than righteousness, there's a problem. The reason, and this is what I'm hearing from the Lord, was like this last major revival that happened in this school, in the chapel, was not because they were seeking revival, because they got to the point they were becoming righteous and God honored them. I don't believe, and I could be wrong on that they were really seeking there. They weren't there to seek revival. It just happened. I've seen some different things on YouTube where all of a sudden the power just falls. They were just in one place worshiping in unity. How do you come in unity? Unity is in agreement and desiring the same thing. If you desire to walk in the love of God and to know God without any, obligations, then you can come in unity with other people. Through the years, being in the church all these years, I've sat here and said one thing. I've heard a lot of people talk about a lot of situations. I've heard a lot of things going on. I've seen the good, bad, and the ugly, I say, in the churches. I've been around different churches, different understanding, different religions, different traditions, different doctrines. And I asked the Holy Spirit, what does he want? I didn't ask what they want. I didn't look what they were looking for or what they were teaching. I was asking God, the Holy Spirit, what do you want? And I come to find out, if you follow the Holy Spirit, he's your teacher, you ask the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter what anybody says or does or anything else, because I used to, as I was growing, I used to say, this one guy, he had his daughters, and they went around, and they walked all around their field because the army worms were coming. And I'm thinking, that's not scriptural. You don't have to do that. See, I was never trained that way. That was not my doctrine that I'd learned. They did, and guess what? The army worms came up right to his fence, took off, went around, over, back, and at the same place took off through the next neighbor's fence, the field, and took them out. Because of the prayer, because of their faith, because they understood, because they trusted the Father. I had to change my thinking. Then some guy says, I'm going to be raising some people from the dead. I says, that's wrong. Only God raises people from the dead, Jesus. You can't do it. You're not Jesus. See, I learned a lot of things like this that were weird and far out, and I'm saying, no, 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 this is not right. It's not biblical. It's not understandable. But then after a while, the Holy Ghost started to check with me because I did two things. I kept my mind open and my heart open to the Holy Spirit, not to what people were saying, not to what I'm being taught, not to what I'm hearing, just what the Holy Spirit's saying and the Word of God. We're supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth is the Word, and the Spirit is the one that wrote, that gave the inspired the truth for the men to write it. That makes sense? So there's two things right there. You get in that, you got it made. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you've been told. I don't care what doctrine you've been under. I don't care when you see the Word of God and said, I believe this. You don't ask the Holy Spirit, you'll probably be wrong, because you'll never get the full revelation of it. And you're walking perfectly whole and you think you're doing great, you probably won't be. I'm not saying you're going to hell. This is not a point about being hell. It's just missing the mark. That's why I'm so careful about everything I say and do. I'm accountable for everything that I tell you. And if I don't say it through the Holy Ghost, then I'm in trouble, because I'm going to lead you astray, and I do not want to lead you astray. And that's what's happening in this day. So many people are wanting this and wanting that, but they're still not down to the point where they just want to get God in them. They just want to be so full of God, so much of love, so much peace, so much joy. And we miss that. We want to go do this. We want to go do that. No. Get down into righteousness. Are you seeking righteousness, even though I'm righteous? It's the time I heard Thurman Scrivener say, the scripture, it wasn't Thurman, it was just the Holy Ghost used him to say it, and I got a hold of it. He says, the scripture that says that the God of this age blinds the minds of those to the things of Christ. I said, oh my goodness, was the first thing I said. Yeah, that person's got it. They better be changing. They're bound up. They don't know what's going on. That's what most people do. I got to get these people changed around so they have that. They never look at themselves. First thing I said, Lord, I bind the God of this age and take any blinders off of my mind. Well, you're an apostle. God speaks to you all the time. I don't care. I am human, and I can have that blinding on my mind. And I refuse to walk being bound up and blinded by the devil. I will humble myself before the Lord and put this forth so that I will not have that happen. Because that's exactly how the devil gets in and destroys the work of the Father. You got good people out there doing good things, but then all of a sudden you get that trap that I talked about the other Sunday, all of a sudden, and thinking I'm so good, I'm so great, and I don't have to worry about it because I know all this stuff. I tell you what, keep yourself humble. Seek after righteousness. I don't care how much righteousness you got, keep seeking it. You can always learn more. You can always get better. You can always shine greater than what you shine already with the power of God. And when you go that way, that's what the Lord's saying. Because when the glory of God falls, I'll tell you, I'm hearing this right now in the Spirit. I haven't released my glory like people are asking, because most people be dead. Most people be dead. What happened when the people touched the ark? They died. It happened before with, Whitman. I think it was Whitfield. That early on, he came out with the power of God on him, and he started proclaiming the Word of God. Boom! People dropped right in the services. You don't think about that. Oh, I want the glory of God so we can get healed. No, you get the glory of God in here, and the presence, you can't stand in it. And if you are lying to yourself and you're not in the right shape, they're going to die. So you better make sure, before you ask for the glory of God to fall, which we did sing a little bit, he's here, he's right there. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't going to open this up, and it's just the approval of God. Angels are all over this place. Jesus is right there. I said, Jesus, why aren't you back here on the seat? He says, you're not ready for me to come in. That's what I heard in the spirit this morning. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, okay, Lord. Teach me, show me, help me. I didn't say you, I said me. As I said of the choir, I'm in the director. I need to direct the areas that need to be to help people get to the place they are. Does that mean that you're in bad shape? No. Does it mean that you're not serving God? No. That's between you and God. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. You have to make sure that you're following what the Lord wants you to do. But you are an instrument in His choir. And are we all sounding good so people love to hear what we're saying? Or are we arguing and complaining and doing this and doing that and coming against one another? And saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, I'm just being honest with you. If God was sitting here, He'd probably say the same thing. We don't, you know, it's easy to serve God because you're never there. But when you stand before Him, it's a little different situation. When we get, and I've always wondered about that. Oh, Lord, I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good. But when I stand before You, it's going to be different. You know, when you get pulled into the manager or the owner's office compared to when you're out here working and you're doing working with some managers, you know, you think you're doing pretty good, but you get called in and they kind of tell you some things you don't really want to hear. It's kind of a bad situation because you think you're doing all right. Well, I don't want to be like that. When I go in before the owner, I want to turn around and say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I'm always on guard. I'm always checking. I'm always trying to make sure. If somebody's in here and they leave, I guarantee you what, the first thing I do is I call them. I try to get a hold of them. Unless I actually know exactly what's going on and know it's not going to work, so I just kind of back down. But other than that, I always try to get a hold of people and find out what's happening. Why did they leave? Is there something we can do? Did we get hurt? To apologize, to ask for forgiveness, whatever it's been. It's not always been easy talking to them. And there's been some reasons they've been hurt and left. And the other ones, they just, you know, didn't meet their needs. I can understand that. But we released them and just blessed them and said, I pray the next place you'll be in good shape. I hate doing that, but the fact is, you know, we're only here for those who God wants here and to achieve and to be able to make things happen. So that's my heart. That's what's going on. This is what the Lord started dealing with me the very first thing this morning. He says, you have to prepare for revival. And He said, that's why I have you going and teaching what I've had you teach here lately. I said, okay, I can go along and keep going that way. That's why the anointing, prepare for the anointing. Prepare your heart for the anointing. Because revival is all about reviving your heart. When you revive your heart with the righteousness of God, guess what happens? Signs and wonders come forth. I always say this, and I've said it, and I will always say it. The things I've found out, those who have perfected righteousness in their lives are the ones in which everlasting fruit comes forth. And I'm saying everlasting fruit, because others put fruit out, but they're not everlasting because they come out with consequences or concerns or you have to do this, you have to do, I want this, I want that, instead of I want you to be changed. I want you to come in and totally be in a position to where you grow and prosper and we won't lose you. That's what revival is. I've watched. Church I was in, it's a pretty good sized church. They'd have a special meeting. We did Hell's Gates and Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. Powerful meeting. It was sitting there, people didn't realize it. It'd be quieter than quiet, and then all of a sudden everybody start coughing. Not everybody, a lot of people would cough. Well, I knew they were getting delivered, but most people never knew they were getting delivered. It was just strange. They were just sitting there. Oh, boy, they're getting that one. Then all of a sudden, they would call everybody down to the front, and they would come down. And they'd give their life to Christ. Praise God, all kinds of people. But I don't know where most of them are today. Not my problem. I didn't do that. But if it was for me, somebody came down and got saved, and then they didn't disappear, then it's on my record of, you know, something going wrong. What's happening? That's why I check with everybody that leaves, that has a problem or an issue. There's a big bug up here. Huh? Yeah. I don't know where that one came from. But, you know, the whole thing is, we just have to trust the Father and see what's going on and go from there because of what's happening. But just know, you need to ask the Father, what do I need to be prepared for revival? It's not just a thing, and it's not always going to be easy. And there's only a reason the Lord gives us revival is for us to change our hearts. And if we don't change our hearts, we got a problem. So praise the Lord. That was just the prelude to what's going on here, because that's what I was asking the Father. Why am I going this way? So praise the Lord. We'll go on from what he's given me. And I'm going back to 2 Timothy 2:19 that I did last week. That's why I'm saying, well, I'm going back the same way. He says, put it out again. Sometimes we have to hear it several times till we finally get a revelation. It says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows who are his, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn from all wickedness. All wickedness must turn. Now, there's a lot to that. A lot of understanding, and that's why I was going down, and that's how I all started out to begin with, is to explain how, why, and everything going on. But that was what was saying. I also went to 22, and I don't know if this still reads quite like yours. You can read that one, 23 through 26 there, dear.
Run away from anything that stimulates useful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, do not get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change these people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been caught, they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
So it still comes down to that devil's trap. You got family members that are out doing things that's not right. It's a trap that they're in. How do you go take them out of the trap? You need to ask the Father, how do you get people out of a trap? How do you get people out of a trap? Because it's so very important. How do people get caught up in a trap? How many people have been to the church, and I've heard several of them say, I've tried it, and it doesn't work. That becomes a trap. One thing is because, as I said before, they don't have anybody to watch over them. They just want to get them saved. They got them saved and leave them. And they don't teach them. They don't work with them. They don't do anything with them. And that's the biggest trap there is. In fact, you're the trap. You put the trap out for them. I'm telling you that right now. That just came to me. That came from the Holy Ghost. When you get somebody saved without the ability to have them discipled, brought forth from where they're at, you just set a trap for the devil, for him to fall into, and remove them from God's hands. I didn't realize that until just now. That's what the Lord said. And that's what he told me way back when I was coming out of the church. He said, more people are lost because they are saved. Why are they lost? You know, most people that go to a business are trained how to do their business. I used to train a guy, or people that came into a business that I worked with, and this guy was very, very particular about what he wanted, and I knew how to teach people what he wanted. People didn't like what he wanted. I mean, this is the first time I worked in a shop working on equipment that you could eat off the floor. I mean, this thing, once a year they would take and rip everything out, paint. They would clean everything off, the floor, the walls, everything, and they would paint it all up. I mean, this place was immaculate. I never worked in a place like that. I was afraid to work in a place like that because I wasn't that way. But he was, and it was immaculate. And I said, oh, my goodness, this is, like, amazing. So when the person came in, they allowed me to teach them, and I would teach them what was going on. And a lot of people, I don't do it that way. I said, I don't care what you do it. I'm teaching you the way you need to do it. And when you, once you're out of my teaching, if you want to do it your way, you have to deal with the boss. Not me, because I taught you the way you're supposed to do it. But most people want to do it their own way. They don't care about what the boss wants. Even though he's the boss. That's the way it is in Christianity sometimes. We want it our own way. Don't care what the boss wants. Just have to be careful on that. So what happened was, as I would teach them, and I would teach them the right way, they'd finally got to the point where they knew they weren't going to get over, and I said, if you want to do it, once you do that, on your own, you go ahead. I don't care. But right now, you're going to learn what's going on. But that's where we're at sometimes. We get so stuck in doing what we want to do, we don't even stop to ask the Father what he wants. And praise God if you're doing it, and what you want, that's fine. It's one of those situations, like I said, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, I was going to tell you, if you already do this, don't worry about it. Just help others to learn about what needs to be done, because this is part of it. But it still comes down. I've seen people get in arguments. I could have got in an argument the other day. And I said, why? It's not worth it. And this is still comes down to where I've been saying for some time, and that's in 24. God's servants must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. You must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Difficult people. And I mean, it's hard to be patient with difficult people. If you don't have that, you don't have the love in you. I'm telling you that right now. You do not have love. You better be working on love all the time. You need to seek righteousness. You need to want righteousness. You need to walk in righteousness. Because that'll get you much farther than my... See, and you have to be gentle when you teach people that's in the devil's trap, because you come out, you start telling them, and I've seen that before. People come against me and said, well, you're not telling people the truth. Well, I'm telling them the truth. I just go around the back door. I've seen when you come into a person's personality, or when you start working with people, if you try to go in the front door and hit them, boom, 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 they're standing there with a shotgun. They're going to shoot the heck out of you and get rid of you before you ever get in, because they don't want to listen to a word you got to say. But if you walk around to the back door and kind of knock and you come in, they're not really expecting you, so you kind of sit there and you talk with them, you work with them, and it takes maybe, if you need something done now, boom, you go, this is the way it is, you better do it, or else that's what a boss does. But God doesn't do that that way. He comes around behind, and he starts to convict you a little bit. Before long, you start to say, oh, I need to change. I need to change. I need to change. There's something going on. That's what I try to do. I don't try to just walk in and beat people over the head, which I have, but I prefer not to do that because that's not my style. But the issue is this. When you're gentle, teaching, because they oppose what's going on, you have a better opportunity of getting them out of the devil's trap. If you really realize with satanic people, the Satanists that are out there and people who join the Satan, I'd heard before that they have to actually do just the opposite of the Ten Commandments. They're required to do that. When you work with witchcraft and so, it's, you know, we found out, one guy I was saying, there was in the scripture I was reading, it says to bind it up and send back to the ones that are sending the evil to you, back to them. I don't know if I'd seen that from the Lord or in the Word, what I just remember a long time ago, I was reading, I heard that, and I said, okay. So I started binding, I said, bind up every hex, vex, curse, chantments, spells, writing, smokes. Smokes is when they do the candles. And all the other stuff, witchcraft, voodoo, you know, satanic prayer, everything. I said, all of it, send it back to the sender. Let them receive it. Let them get the results of what their prayers are. Not to hurt them. Hopefully they'll wake them up. I don't want to receive it. Send it back to them. Just like, you know, a letter comes into your house, you might don't have to receive it. Send it back to the sender. It's the same thing. It's a spiritual principle. And I said that one time in a meeting, this one couple came up, oh, don't do that, don't do that. I said, why not? It's, we just do it. Why would we want to receive? Well, they're going to get hurt. And if they get hurt, the devil's going to come after them and say, well, you don't do have enough power and they'll hurt them. I says, well, they set it up to begin with. But they were so concerned about the people that were in the trap more than the, what the people in the trap were trying to do the people that weren't in the trap. I said, oh my goodness. They were almost in a trap themselves. Yes, but they were trying to get those people set free. I said, we don't want them to be hurt because the devil, if you read that in several different places, the devil... there's no love whatsoever. If you don't have love, then what are you doing? You're serving the devil. The Word says that all the time. So what happens is, if without love, what do you got? You got hate. You know, and even in that one prophecy they were saying, is a vision that he had. He said the hordes of hell, the demons are riding on Christians, on people. And then all of a sudden, the demons would start fighting against each other. Why? Because they hate each other. There's no love in those demons. They just want more power and more authority. So they hate that sorcery. If they got more power, they hate them. So you got to realize what's going on in the spiritual realm. So if you got some demon riding one of your family members that's hooked up in that trap, what do you think? They're going to try to do everything they can to be hateful and angry towards you. And you know, it's amazing when you start to see the warfare that's going on and how we need to defeat. And that's where it comes down here. You need to be patient with those people because they aren't going to change within your time period. They will not change in your time period. God, if that was the case, I would have changed a long time ago, and I wouldn't have to put up. He wouldn't have to put up with me so long. I'm glad he had patience with me. I don't know about you. You guys probably just popped right out of it and was fine. Man, it took me a long time. I'll tell you, if he didn't have patience, I would be in hell already. But we don't look at that at other people. But we need to look at it from love. Love will show you a lot of things, a lot of different ways. And you'll start to move in a way that you never moved before when you get more love. And you need to be gentle. When you oppose, because people that oppose the truth aren't going to believe the truth. That's what amazed me. I've learned a lot from that vision. Because they said, the guy said he had arrows there of truth, and he picked them up, and he would shoot the arrow of truth at these demons. But he said the arrows would miss the demons and go right in the person. And the person knew enough about Christianity. They were supposed to be a Christian, but they were wounded, and that's why the demons were on them anyway. And all of a sudden, what happens? They got mad at God. And the demons even convinced them, well, I'm just no good and I'm not going to be worth anything. So because of that, I'm not going to, you know, God can't love me. And they just get mad again and go do their own thing. We don't realize sometimes what we're dealing with when we deal with people that have the anger and frustration, hatred and bitterness. And we deal with it wrongly because we're not in love enough to see what God will give us the wisdom to show us how to work with them. This is coming right from the heavens. This is not my notes. I just want to let you know. Prepare. The Lord says, I'm not ready to come down here. He's sitting right up there. He says, I'm not ready to come down to here because you're not ready for my revival. Maybe some of you are. But as a group in unity, he's not. But the minute we come into unity, guess what? He's going to pop in this place. And guess what? He's already told me, I walked out the other day, and he says, people are coming. Like you said this morning, the parking lot. It's going to be full. But I also seen that one vision where Jesus was walking down this parking lot, and there was angels behind him. All the way back, clear up to the street. Angels all the way across the parking lot. And when that night when I was in, I was just sitting there, and I started seeing the Spirit. He took me up over the edge, over the top of the angel. I looked down. Every single angel has a person. He has assigned an angel to a person to keep them protected until we're ready to receive them and bring them in. Once we're ready, he'll bring them in. It's just like you said this morning. He'll bring them in. We're not going to bring them in. He will. We have to get our hearts ready for revival. We got to be revived. We got to bring it back. We got to bring unity. We got to be so close to working together in unity and in agreement with one another in love and peace, and that's what's going to happen. The other one that I'm going to hit real quick, and then I'm going to close on that one, is 1 John 3:8-10, and that's King James. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. When I was reading that, I said, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Well, I'm born of God, but I have a problem. I do commit sin once in a while. Don't mean to, but I do. And that doesn't go along with his word. It's supposed to be worship with word and truth. But I'm not going to put condemnation upon anybody because there's a reason for that. And this is a lot of what the Lord wants to bring forth. For his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. For his seed remaineth in him that has given their life to Christ, that destroyed the seed that destroyed the work of the devil. And because that seed remaineth in him, he cannot sin because he is born of God. There is a powerful, powerful anointing and understanding and truth that will set people free. And I'll explain a little bit more next week because I'm not going to get into it this far today. I'm going to hit a little more about it. When I was reading that, it struck me, and I went in before the Father and I said, boy, you're going to have to clarify this. I know it. I understand it. It's a little different than what I've thought about. He said this. Because you asked me, my son, into your life, I sent forth the Holy Spirit into your life, the Word of God in your heart and your mind, and I changed your nature. Your nature is no longer a sin nature as happened with Adam. Adam went, and I've talked about this before, it's just another way of putting it out. If you get a revelation, it'll be amazing. And this is what people have to know in order to achieve great things in their lives for the Lord. First thing is, you've got Adam. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no disease in the earth until he got prideful. And they were deceived by the spirit by the devil, which is the father of deception, rebellion, rejection, and everything else. When they did, because God said, when you sin, or if you sin, immediately you will die. Immediately you will die. And I always had a problem with that. I said, how did he die? He's still walking. He's still talking. He's not dead. Religion never told me. Nobody told me until I got older and the Holy Ghost told me. He died spiritually. Meaning that the same spirit that that God breathed into his nostril was his spirit, along with his own soul, which is a spirit. And immediately the spirit of God left. He was a king. Anytime the spirit of God is there, you're a king. And immediately it went down in there and it took over and he became a king. And he walked around because, see, if you look in the kingdom authority, the prince is second in command under the king. If the king's there, the devil, the prince has no authority. It has no authority. Okay? And that's what happened. He got taken back to, the Holy Spirit went back to heaven. And he had a sin nature from that day forth. Not a godly nature. Everything he knew about God was gone, and he didn't know, not everything he knew, but he realized that he lost the Spirit of God. And he had a sin nature. And in that sin nature was everything started to happen. So they gave him a law to walk through until Pentecost. When Pentecost came, the same spirit that left Adam came back in us. Everyone that asked Jesus in their life, that spirit came in you. That is the seed of righteousness. The seed of righteousness. Righteousness makes you holy. You are righteous and you are holy. The biggest problem is people walk with righteousness and holy without developing righteousness. They never walk. They don't have to develop righteousness. It's in us. People have said, I've talked about this before, and they said, we're righteous. We're the righteousness of Christ. You're exactly right. We're righteous. We're a holy priesthood. But we might not act like it because we never perfected it in our lives. What? Doesn't say anything about perfecting. Yes, it does. It says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. What is your salvation? The righteousness that was placed inside you, the seed that was in there. And that's why it says, whoever born of God does not commit sin. Your spiritual, godly nature does not commit sin. You are not sinful by nature. You did before you asked Jesus Christ in your life. You were sinful by nature. Your nature was sin. You have changed. Boom. No longer. You are now the righteousness of Christ, and that seed of righteousness will not sin. There is a powerful anointing in this. It can set people free. People that sit there saying, oh, I'm worthless, I'm no good. No, you don't know who you are in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, you are the righteousness of Christ. The seed is in you. You don't have to sin anymore. But there's a second part to that. And I can talk about that in a little bit. But I'll go on to say, it says in 10, 1 John 3:10, in this, the children of God are manifested. Huh? The manifestation of God inside of us keeps us to where we can go to heaven. Because we're not, our soul does not have sin. I want you to understand this. I'm going to throw this out there and it kind of maybe throw you off a little bit. You need to think about this. Good Wednesday discussion. It says, the children of God, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Now, it didn't say have righteousness in you. it says does not. Yeah. You know, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Does not do righteousness is not of God. Whoa. It's not enough to have righteousness in you. You have to do it. You have to walk it. You have to be with it. And you say, what does this mean? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When I went back and looked that up, it says mostly right standing, but in this case, it says act or character. What is the character of God? Love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, and long-suffering. That's what righteousness means in this one only. Other places it says righteousness, it means right standing before God. This one means act or character. Right there, you have to understand the kingdom of God, your authority, your power, what just happened to you, to understand how to walk in it, to by your authority and power. And secondly, you have to become like God's character, the character of God. You can't become God. You become like him through his character. He walks in his character. That's his whole thing about it. That's why Jesus came back here. He manifested himself through righteousness. He walked through righteousness. He acted through righteousness. His example was righteousness. He did everything through righteousness. He taught us righteousness through his actions. That's everything. And when you start to see that, the problem is you come down here, you come back up here, and you start to say, you know, don't quarrel. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. The servant of God must not quarrel. I tell you, there's a lot of quarrels out there. Why? It's one of those situations. Well, we know what we want to know. We know what's true. Well, you know, a lot of people come up and tell me you need this, you need that. I just keep my mouth shut. You know, I'm not talking about Thurman because I'm putting him on a pedestal, but the fact is, the first time we went to lunch, I thought we'd have a good discussion. Wrong. Everybody sitting at the table, we talk like crazy, and Thurman, he'd just take a bite and put it in his mind and just start, you know, in his mouth and start thinking. Did he barely say, he barely said anything? Why? He was always seeking the Lord. He was always thinking about the Word. He was always in that attitude. I'm thinking, wow, ain't seen too many men do that before. I've heard of it, but ain't seen it. So I was amazed. You know, we could have great conversations there, but he wasn't too much into it. Once in a while, he might say something. But it was amazing what was happening. But I want you to understand, righteousness is the biggest thing. And he says, this is why the Lord said he's not ready to come down. Are you really walking in righteousness? This is what he would, if he was standing here today, he would say, are you walking in righteousness? He could point right at you and say, yes, no. I can't. He can. You know. Are you walking in love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, long sufferings? I still got areas I'm working in. Some I'm doing all right. Got to keep going. You don't stop. Why? Because if you're not, what does the Word say? Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. I don't care how many people give their life to Christ. I don't care how many people I'll get saved. I don't care how many people see signs and wonders and go to a church and all this fantastic. It doesn't matter. The results is the heart. Is it being revived in righteousness to walk in love so that all these things will come out of them? They got a great gift. You got a great gift. You got a lot of things going on. So praise the Lord. The other thing I'm going to tell you just to cover this up, and I have it down in my notes, but I'm not going to get to it today. I got 5 pages of notes, I think, and I'm on the first page. And most of it didn't even come from the page that I had on. It came from the Holy Spirit. And that is, we had it Wednesday. And we've talked about it before. And because, you know, it was brought up It's no big deal that was brought up. It's just the fact is we wanted to tell you. And I've got scriptures for it. I'm going to put it down. I think I'll make a little pamphlet that says, once saved, always saved. Is it true? Because I'm going to put it down there because it's not. I'm glad it was brought up. It's something that needs to be dealt with and brought forth by the Word of God. I've been teaching some people here lately, and I'm telling them this. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you say. You got to be following the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You better be praying in the Holy Spirit. I said there's an issue that's been happening around the place that they've been at. And then if the enemy comes in, every person that comes in gets attacked by it, and before long they're gone because they fell into the trap. And I'm trying to help people so they don't fall in the trap. And that's the biggest way to do that is by praying in the Holy Ghost and finding out what's happening, knowing what's going on. There's two parts to our salvation. Two parts. And this goes right along with what I'm saying. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. The righteousness in you, the God nature, not the sin nature that we walked in before, the God nature does not commit sin. It's our fleshly desires. Our fleshly desires, our flesh still comes from this earth, which is sinful. It's going to die. It's not going to heaven. It's going to die, go back to the earth. But it's still sinful. And that's how the devil comes in and starts to use your fleshly desires against you, the seed of God. He's using your fleshly desires against righteousness, the seed of God that has been placed inside you. So, if you see those two areas that are happening, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is when you stay in righteousness by the Holy Spirit, and sight is when you get into your fleshly desires and wants and needs and everything else that goes on, and it overrides your flesh or your spirit. And then you allow it to take over and cause you problems. That's when you sin. As soon as you sin, you divide yourself from God. And you need to repent and ask God to forgive you, and it gets back into where you're right standing with God again. So, there's two parts to once saved, always saved. Yes and no. Yes and no. It says right in the scripture, you can say yes and no. Yes is, you have the seed of God in you and you are saved. And no is, if you don't do the seed of God and use the righteousness, you ain't going. So is it true, once saved, always saved? Yes. Is it true, once saved, always saved? Could be that you're not going to make it just because you're saved. Because there's two parts to it. God did his part. He sent his son. He died on the cross. He broke all the sin that keeps us from him. And then he took and he released inside us those who wanted to ask Jesus into our life, the seed, which is righteousness. And the more we get towards righteousness, the less we go to our flesh. The less we go to our flesh, the more chance that we're going to make it to heaven. Because it says, I'm just putting it down this way. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. You got righteousness in you, but you're not doing it. Neither is he that love, the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. In other words, if you're not doing righteous things, I don't care if you're giving your life to Christ. That's where it says the difference is. God will never leave you or forsake you. But it says work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Why? Because the devil has traps and it can lock you in. It even says that the dog turns back to its vomit. What does that mean? People go back to their old sins. in the Old Testament, if you want to get into it. It talked about Jehoshaphat and how he said he followed his father Asa, did the things of the Lord, and God was pleased with him, except for one thing he didn't do, is he didn't get the people to stop going into the high places and sacrificing to the devils. Doing the sacrifices, which was illegal against God. Never got rid of the high places. Are you getting rid of your high places? When something happens to you, you go back into anger and frustration, hatred and sin of any kind? What do you think drinking is? As soon as I have a little problem, I'm going to go get me a drink. That's going back into high places. It's meeting your fleshly desires. No, we need to sit down and say, Father, teach me, show me, walk in that area. And I'm not coming against drinking. The Bible doesn't say that you can't drink. It says don't get drunk. People use wine. Suppose we use wine for their stomach, which is when they back then can do it now. So I'm just telling you, I'm not coming against you. It's just what the Lord is saying today. I want to send forth my revival into this place strongly. I want my glory to fall. I just don't want to lose anybody. Are you ready? Are you really ready for revival? Yeah, let's have it. No, check your heart. Are you really ready to be in the place that God wants you? And when all the people come in with all the problems and all the potheads, and they're saying, oh, yeah, man, they got gray hair and red hair and green hair and orange hair and all kinds of stuff hanging all over their body and tattoos from one end to the other, are you going to say, ugh? Or are you going to grab a hold of them? It's like one guy said, I think he went to a homeless person and gave him a big hug. You have to have a nose plug. Are you ready? That's when you're going to find out if you're really walking in righteousness or you just walking in, I want the glory of God to fall and the signs and wonders to happen. Woo! Are we really ready? That's what the Lord would say today. That's a message. Are you really ready? I know what you think you might want, but when you get it, so what I always say when you start to work with couples, they want their spouse to be different. When their spouse becomes different like they want it, they have to go through therapy because they can't stand what they got. Even their kids one time, the parents got changed, had to take their daughter to therapy simply because she couldn't handle being around the parents because she couldn't wiggle them and do what she wanted them to do. Change isn't always what you were looking for because it's not the way you think it's going to be. Ask God, are you ready? What do you need to do to change? What do you need to do to be prepared? Because it's not going to be nice. It won't be church as normal. It will be messed up. So, just get prepared. God's going to do it. It's coming. We praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this blessed time. And we thank you that I pray that if I said anything that offends anybody, that they will call me and get a hold of me and we'll talk it through because I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just trying to put out what you want me to put out. And I know you want us to get ready for the revival. And just because we have revival doesn't mean it's what we think it's going to be. It's going to be different. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And thank you for what you're doing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless each and every one. Keep us all safe, even those that are not here. Just bless them, bless them, bless them. In the name of Jesus, amen.